Well, I guess it comes as no surprise that we're going to look at the 23rd Psalm again this morning. And so if you'll turn to the 23rd Psalm, we'll read it together.
Psalm 23, and we'll read beginning at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. Someone said, what more do I want? He is sufficient. His word is sufficient. All scripture is God-breathed, and it's profitable that the man of God, the woman of God, may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Everything that is needed for faith and practice is in the Word of God. His Word is sufficient. His wealth is sufficient. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. The exceeding riches of his grace, through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come, it's grace that hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. His work is sufficient. He is able to do exceeding abundantly of all that we can ask or even think. His will is sufficient. I beseech you, says the apostle, to present your bodies a living sacrifice in order that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I became acquainted in our home with DV long before I ever heard about TV. God willing. Lord, said Paul in his unsaved days, what wilt thou have me to do? His wisdom is sufficient. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. His working is sufficient. No believer is a self-made man. We're all God-made man. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And says the apostle, he which hath begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. The assured product is ahead. The work which his goodness began, the arm of his strength will complete. His promise is yea and amen, and never was forfeited yet. Things future nor things that are now, not all things below or above, can make him his purpose forgo, or sever my soul from his love. The apostle asks, who is sufficient for these things? And he answers, our sufficiency is of God who also hath made us. He's made us. Able ministers, he said, of the New Testament. We have noted previously that there are three positions in this psalm. He goes before his sheep. He walks beside them. He says, thou art with me, and And he goes beyond his sheep. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We noted in the opening of the psalm that there are four things that are stated that he does for his sheep. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But the psalmist tells us that there are four things that he does when he's right alongside of us. He speaks now not in the third person, as he did in the opening of the psalm. He speaks there in the third person, but he does. He maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me. But here he says, concerning the Lord being beside him, he says, and he uses the second person, he says, thou art with me. He's speaking now not of the Lord, he's speaking to the Lord. Thou art with me. He tells us of his presence. What a wonderful thing it is to know all along life's way. We have a lifelong companion. Thou art with me. And then secondly, he tells us not only do we have a lifelong companion, but we have a private tutor. It says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. From the moment that you trust Christ as your Savior, you are in God's school. And you never graduate until you leave this life. You have personal, individual attention. You know, sometimes in the classrooms, they say, well, if you've got about 28 students, that's a crowd. You don't want more than that. But we have individual, private, personal dealings. The shepherd, thy rod, and thy staff, they comfort me. And then he says, concerning his preparation, he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can he provide for the needs of his people as we journey through this world? That's the question that the psalmist asks. This psalm answers the question. It says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And then he speaks of his power. It says, thou anointest my head with oil. And we know that in the Bible, oil is a symbol of the Spirit of God. Thou anointest my head with oil. The Lord Jesus told his disciples, I'm not counting on you to be able to carry this mission. Out, he says, you wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Well, we don't have to wait any longer. The Spirit of God has come, and he indwells and empowers every child of God. Scripture says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Sometimes when people ask you, how do you know that you're saved? I say, I have inside information. His Spirit witnesses with my spirit that I am a child of God. His power. Four things. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's the great affirmation. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And that's what this world is. The shadow of death is cast upon everything here. But I have one that walks with me and talks with me all along life's way. I want to look with you this morning a little bit at these four statements that are made concerning the personal touch that the Lord has on each of our lives. Thou art with me. The shepherd walks beside his sheep. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have the assurance that the Lord Jesus walks with us, but it's also wonderful to have the assurance that we are walking with him. Someone said to Abraham Lincoln during the time of the Civil War, he said he trusted that God was on their side, that is, the side of the North. And Lincoln's response was, I'm far more concerned that we be on his side. And the scripture says Enoch walked with God. How important it is that we be in fellowship with him. We have the assurance of his presence with us. My presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Many years ago, the story is told of David Livingstone. He was speaking in Glasgow in Scotland. He had his arm hanging loosely by its side. It had been chewed by a lion during his time in Africa. And he said to the students there at that particular college, he said, the word that sustained me during those long, weary months in Africa were the words of a gentleman of the most strict and sacred honor who said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. The Lord appears to Paul. We read in Acts chapter 27, he says, be of good cheer. He says, there stood by me this night the angel of God whose I am and whom I serve. Be of good cheer, he said. I am with thee. Oh, what a wonderful assurance it is to know that the Lord is with us all along life's way. In the very last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, he wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy. He wrote rather sadly in a way. He said, all forsook me. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Oh, how wonderful it is to know that the Lord is with us. Every step of the way, the Lord said to Moses, you remember, my presence shall go with thee. And Moses said, if thy presence go not with us, take us not up hence. The assurance of the Lord being with him in a journey. God made a wonderful promise to his servant Jacob. He says, behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And Jacob in his unbelief says, if thou wilt be with me. God had just got through telling him to be with him. Sometimes I feel we're much like Jacob. We don't cash in on the assuring word that he gives us. We look at Jacob's son, Joseph. And I guess he must have wondered, a 17-year-old boy, sold by his own brothers as a slave. He cried out to them and begged them not to sell him. But they steeled their hearts and sold their own brother for 20 pieces of silver. 22 years were to pass before those boys stood in the presence of the brother they'd sold and no longer recognized. But the scripture says repeatedly concerning Joseph, the one who's been sold, it says, the Lord was with Joseph. What a difference that made. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And not only does it say that, but it says, his master saw. I like this. His master saw that the Lord was with Joseph. Thou art with me. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Psalmist says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Secondly, we read, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There are two things that I need. As a sheep of Christ, I need correction. And I need comfort. And he has the rod for correction. And that comes first. First the rod of correction. And then the staff of comfort. That's the order. First the rod. And then the staff. And understand that word, the staff, that's used there for staff meant a walking stick. It was what the shepherd used as he walked along. And they both comfort me. I need them both. In my experience as a believer, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? There's nothing in the world to feed the soul. We have a beautiful picture, it seems to me, in the case of Noah in the Old Testament. You remember? Noah's in the ark, and he's a picture, I believe, of the believer in Christ. And he sends the raven out. And the raven never comes back. It had a field day. It fed on all the corruption, all the dead bodies floating around, animals and men and women and boys and girls, all over the place. What a field day for the raven. Plenty of food. He never came back because he never had anything to bring to the man that was in Christ. And those that try and feed on the corruptions of this world, you never get anything back to feed the spiritual man. Then he sent out the dove, which in Scripture is a figure of the Spirit of God. And that dove went all around the place, and it found no place to rest. No place, nothing to find any satisfaction. And it came back to Noah in the ark, and it brought absolutely nothing back to him, because there was nothing here to bring back. And then you remember the dove was sent out the second time. When it came back the second time, it says there was an olive leaf plucked off. And all that the Spirit of God has to bring to us is that green olive leaf, the one who was cut off out of the land of the living. It's Christ alone. That's all there is in the world to feed the spiritual man. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? My dad used to say that when he was a boy, he said, I despise a bed, but I loved a table. He said, I despised the bed because when I didn't want to go to it, my mother made me get in it. And when I wanted to stay in it, she made me get out of it. So I didn't like a bed much. But he said, a table. Oh, what a wonderful place was a table. The place where the family met. Where they gathered together to share in the good food that had been provided. A table. Well, you know, we're always at the Lord's table. We're not always at the Lord's supper. But we're always at the Lord's table. All along life's way, he's feeding us. As we journey home. And then we meet together sometimes as God's people, and we call it the Lord's table, but it's called in the Scripture the Lord's Supper. We meet together to remember the Lord Jesus Christ in his death. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And we know that for a period of 40 years, when the children of Israel were journeying through the wilderness, every day God sent them the manna from heaven, the bread from heaven. We know from John chapter 6, that's just a picture. It was never not the real bread. The Lord Jesus said, I am the true bread which came down from heaven to give life to the world. But as we journey through this world, God has food for us. And we sing sometimes, nothing but Christ as on we tread. The gift unpriced, God's living bread. With staff in hand and feet well shod. Nothing but Christ, the Christ of God. He's the food. For the soul. He said, I am the bread of life. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My mother lived about five doors down from where we lived in Hialeah, Florida. And my children, we had six children, they made the journey down there quite often to get some of Grandma's cookies. That was the main attraction, I suppose, and she always had some cookies baked. And they would go down. In fact, the youngest boy, I used to get a kick out of him because he would go down there and he says, Grandmama, he says, let me count the cookies. Let me do it. And he would always get one cookie for everybody in the family, except himself. He got two for himself. And he counted them all out. I guess he thought that was the pay. But I remember one day going down to my parents' home, and I had our next to the youngest son. He was about 2 or 3, I guess, at the time. And between our home and that home, there was a family, and they had a great big black dog. He's a friendly pooch, but he was one of those kind of dogs that came out like he was going to eat you alive. And he came out charging, and he was growling, and my son, he was terrified of this dog. So John Wayne got just about abreast of where that dog was. He said to me, "Daddy, carry me, hold me." And I picked him up in my arms, and I carried him like this. And when we got alongside, that dog came out barking for all his worth, right at my feet like he's going to chew you alive, you know. And I always remember what this son did. He took one look at that dog, and he did that. And I couldn't help but think of this verse. "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." What a difference. What a difference. Have the assurance of his presence. Now, it doesn't say there is no evil. We live in a world that's full of evil. Jacob said, "Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been." He said, "I've had a life that's been packed with trouble, nothing but trouble." When you look at that man's life, you wonder how he got through it all. But later he said, as he blessed the two sons of Joseph, he was on his deathbed. He was 147 years of age. And he said, "The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads." He said, "He's brought me through all of my troubles and all my trials. And he'll bring them through too." That was the confidence. "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou anointest my head with oil." His power, that's what we need for the life. Because as we were reminded from the word of God, the Lord Jesus said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." You know what I really need for the pathway? I need wisdom. He anoints my head with oil. You know, the head is your thinker. And I need wisdom. And the scripture says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." You remember what it said of that man, that demon-possessed man, after the Lord dealt with him? He said he was sitting, he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. Before that time, he had a clinker in his thinker, but now his thinking was straightened out, and he was able to think aright. And that's what God does. He enables us to think. And the wonderful thing is that we who meditate upon the Word of God, we have the privilege, the inestimable privilege of thinking God's thoughts after Him. "How precious," says the psalmist, "are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Whatsoever things are lovely, honest, just, good report, think on these things." And take that verse in Philippians chapter 4 and connect it with Psalm 19, because I believe that's the connection. What we're to think about is the Word of God, what God has to say. "How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them." And what is the result of all of this? The result of this is, "My cup runneth over." My cup runneth over. If you take a glass and you fill it up, it won't run over unless you keep filling it. You can fill it up and you can fill it level, but it won't run over unless you keep pouring into it. And the psalmist says, "My cup runneth over." You remember, remember what the apostle says in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, be not drunk with wine, when it's excess, but keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, the wonderful thing is, when you're filled with the Spirit, there's always going to be the overflow. It says there are two things that happen when we're filled with the Spirit of God. Something as far as man is concerned, and something as far as God is concerned. It says, be not drunk with wine when it is excess, but keep on, you know, being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. Is that what happens? Yes. When we are filled with the Spirit, we'll be speaking to others by the Spirit concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only so, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I connect in thought this verse, Ephesians 5:18, with Colossians 3:16. And Colossians 3:16 says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, be it thoroughly at home in your life, teaching and admonishing one another. That's what it'll do. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It has an effect manward, and it has an effect Godward. My cup, says the psalmist, it's running over. We used to sing, my cup is full and running over. Since the Lord saved me, I'm as happy as can be. My cup is full and it's running over. And it seems to me what those two verses are saying is that the way to be Spirit filled is to be Scripture filled. One verse says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The other verse says, let the word of Christ be at home in your life, teaching and admonishing one another. When a man is filled with the Spirit, it has the same effect in a different way than what happens when you get filled with spirits. You know what I mean? Whiskey. You know what it does? It affects a man in two ways. It changes his walk, and it changes his talk. When a person gets drunk, their walk is affected and their talk is affected. And the apostle says, don't get drunk that way, but be filled with the Spirit. And it will result in a changed walk and a changed talk. And one of the ways that we recognize one another is just by our language. We don't talk like we once did. And we don't walk like we once did. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have a book at home written by Max Reich. He was, for a number of years, a teacher, I believe, at Moody Bible Institute. He wrote a book called Sweet Singer of Israel. Very interesting book. And he has a number of poems in there, and he has a number of prose articles that he wrote. Very thought-provoking. But he wrote this little bit, and I often think of it. He wrote, the heart is bigger than the world. It passeth human. The world can never fill it. The heart is bigger than the world. The world can never fill it. It thirsts for happiness and love. No earthly love can still it. Christ's love is bigger than the world. It passeth human knowing. He fills the heart in which he dwells with love to overflowing. My cup, says the psalmist, runneth over. Four things he does for me. the psalmist says. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And then says the psalmist, he draws very near. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me. In the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord Jesus said, all that the Father hath given me, have I lost none. And every person on earth, or ever has been on earth, who could say the Lord is my shepherd, can say with absolute assurance, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I found a friend. Oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him, and round my heart still closely twined those ties that naught can sever, for I'm his. He's mine, forever and forever. I've found a friend, oh, such a friend, so kind and true and tender, so wise a counselor and guide, so mighty a defender. From him who loves me now so well, what power on earth can sever? No, I'm his. He's mine. Forever and forever. Shall we pray? Father, we're thankful for this lovely, lovely psalm. We're thankful that thou didst inspire thy servant David to give it to us today so that we can enjoy the wondrous teaching that it brings to us. How simple and yet how grand. How sublime. We're thankful that we have the assurance of our Lord's presence with us all every day of our lives. He walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. The joy we share as we tarry here, none other is ever known. Seek thy blessing on thy people, on thy word, and our time together, in the worthy name of our Lord, Jesus Christ.